Meldrum raised his head, careful not to show how painful the effort was.
Oh, bloody. Fear won't work on us. We've faced death too many times, taking felons like yourself down a peg or two. You see, there's a world of difference twixt warriors and windbags, between real fighters and jumped-up johnnies who go around wearing the skins of other creatures. Bad form, you know. Quick as you like now, toddle off and close the door quietly.
The cell door slammed shut with an ear-splitting bang. Nagru shouted through the spy hole as he left.
Rivaldo won't feed you, and stupidity will kill you!
In the silence that followed, Marielle untied the rope that bound their footpaws together. Standing up carefully, she gave an agonised groan.
Oh, that villain's right, you know. We're hardly in a fit state to stand on our own paws, let alone defy him.
Supporting one another, they staggered over to the window. It was not as high as it first looked. They scrambled up onto the broad sill, and Marielle pulled herself forward, craning her neck to peer between the bars.
Oh, my giddy paws! It feels like sitting in the clouds looking down from here. It's a sheer drop down to the valley. The trees look like tiny blobs of green moss.
Meldrum crawled over to join her.
Right, my dear. We're at the rear of Castle Florette. Straight drop, no moat around this side. No need for one, you see. If I'm not mistaken, we're on the third floor in North Wing. Nice view across the valley, what? Pity we ain't got nothing to do but sit here and admire it.
Dandin took a look, then sat back resting against the sun-warmed stone.
Don't you wish you were a bird?
The gallus old campaigner flexed a stiffened paw.
Wish I were any flimmin' thing but a three-quarters dead hare at the moment, young fella. Need I do?
Marielle felt her back roar through the holes that had been made in her tunic with being dragged along.
Injured, imprisoned, hungry, thirsty. There's only one way for us to go now. Up.
We're already up, old girl. How much further up would you like us to be, eh?
Said Meldrum, probing gingerly at a loose tooth.
Listen to a veteran, you two. Best thing to do in a case like this is sleep. Calms the nerves and clears the brain and helps nature heal the body, what? Bit of shut-eye, that's the ticket.
He received no arguments on that score, and within moments the three of them were dozing on the broad windowsill in the noontide sun. Deep sleep overtook the trio of battered warriors immediately. A search party scoured the collapsed sand dune, sifting through the sand. Ferb straightened up, unable to find anything. He shook his head at Bowley, saying,
I'm sure they'd be round by your maester.
Iris waved a paw at the upset state of the wrecked sandhill.
They must have been. Look at all the activity that's taking place round here. Prints, tracks, holes. I'd say some sort of fight took place. Whoops! Careful there.
The female otter had been standing on one end of Meldrum's rod, and she toppled backward downhill as Coltvine unearthed the other end vigorously. He gave a whoop.
What hell? Looky here, Uncle Mel's fishing weapon.
Aha, the gold whacker. I was right,
said Bowley as he took Marielle's rope from the sand. Greenbeck shook his head in admiration as he unearthed the paw of a dead horde rat. Letting it go limp, he kicked sand back over it.
Sing me, what a tussle they must have put up.
Aye, just like Mootler and my rab. Brave creatures,
Iris said as she blinked back at her. Fur patted her with his huge digging claws.
Right, ma'am. Lions give us time to rescue e queen and e mammy. Leastways they're safe now.
Greenbeck sat down between them, keeping his voice low and out of earshot of Bowley and the leverets.
Ferb, get your moles to dig round here,
he said.
If they ain't buried under this lot, then they've been taken by the fox wolf and that horde.
Fate and seasons have mercy on the poor brave beasts.
Iris shuddered.
If they're in the cells at Florette, no creatures can help them, even supposing that they are still alive.